wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
Welcome to another edition of The Degenerates. This is NFL Week 10. No significance to that song. I saw it on a show, but when you get to pick the lead-in music, basically every week you can kind of mail one in every once in a while. I went 8-4 last week. Horse went 7-5. Perfectly respectable, but another win for the Big Bills. Can't say I'm all that surprised. I'm on a roll. I went 6-1 on the 1 o'clock games. Pretty obscene. Cooled off, obviously, only winning two of the last five. But either way, solid week. Horse won. If you went with horse, you won money. If you went with me, you won a little more money. And we are excited. At least I'm excited about this week. I think I got some stuff I like. I don't know how the horse feels. But we'll get into our picks a little later. We're going to talk about some off-the-field stuff, starting with our Thursday night game. We obviously have Rex Ryan returning to East Rutherford to face his old Jets, a team who he had a lot of off-the-field stuff with when he was the coach for them, and he has not changed at all being the coach of the Bills. And I will say one thing. The one thing I've noticed being a Jets fan is how – much I liked Rex Ryan when he was the Jets coach, and how stupid the stuff he does is from an opponent perspective. What do you think of Rex?
Well, I actually think Rex is one of the funniest coaches. I mean, the funniest coach in the league. But, I mean, it doesn't really help his team as much because I think that his relaxed attitude, like the players sometimes feel a little too relaxed with him. Even though all the players say they love playing for him, though, I mean, he's apparently one of the coaches that every player wants to play for. This week, he did that thing with EK and Polly where he's making him the captain for the week, which is classic Rex, going into New York for the first time since switching teams. So tonight is going to be, I think, the most interesting game of the week, and certainly one with the most playoff implications in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, no one, Rex, having Rex been my coach, anyone who thinks this move to make IK a starter is anything malicious or mean-spirited is wrong. This is classic Rex, where this is Rex, like, genuinely thinks this will be, like, funny. And it's like he'll be like laughing about it before the game with all the Jets guys. He'll be like, "Yeah, I thought it was funny." This isn't like a malicious move. He's not trying to. I know he is getting a rise out of people, maybe the hard-o fans. But if you know Rex Ryan, you know this is just like something he thinks will be a funny move, sending him out there. And to be honest, the other thing is, I mean, it was probably IK and Polly has been one of the most valuable Jets all year. We don't have IK and Polly, then we have Geno potentially, maybe he's benched at this point, but potentially, you know, he started 5 or 6 games and maybe we're not in the playoff picture. So from that point of view, I don't mind this at all. Send him out there. The guy, you know, the guy kind of didn't save our season, but the guy was what he did was huge for us. Fitzpatrick has been great. And if it was, and Geno, this wasn't a quarterback battle. Geno Smith was the starting quarterback before this happened.
And I think with Geno Smith, the Jets are a sub-500 team and almost even – I mean, Geno Smith, he loses you 1 out of 2 games, I think, that they've won. So they only – I think they have 5 wins, so they'd have, like, 2 with him. He's just such a bad QB. The guy's – like, when he came in for that – who did they play with Geno when Fitzpatrick hurt his shoulder?
The Raiders, his hand.
Yeah, and they just got blown the fuck out. Like, it wasn't even close. And honestly, I think that the Raiders and Jets are a similar skill-level team with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the horn. But with Geno, it's just a joke.
Yeah, you got to look to the defense, though. And that was a classic case of going to the West Coast and coming out flat. But I completely agree with you. I think we're at best 4-4. At best, we're 4-4 with Geno Smith. The other thing he did was, I guess Rex Ryan's son plays for Clemson, so he showed up to a press conference wearing a Clemson helmet. That, to me, is Rex going a little too far, trying to play up the Rex Ryan persona, because that's just ridiculous. That's not funny. That's just ridiculous. And I think Rex Ryan knew what he was doing, and he thought it would – I don't know. I think Rex Ryan likes the image people have of him, and sometimes he plays it up more than what's organic.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, too. He loves the spotlight, especially when he was in New York. He loved saying controversial shit in his interviews and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing you're spot on about and no one can argue with is that the guys who play for him, they do love to play for him. Like, he would get the Jets to show up. I mean, he got them to 2 AFC championship games basically on will. Mark Sanchez, with those Jets offenses, had no business going to AFC championship games. Yeah, we had a great defense, and Rex Ryan's a defensive guy. But the only reason those teams got to AFC championship games were because they wanted it so bad for Rex, which is, you know, a big part of coaching is getting your guys ready to go and having them want to win for you. There's no denying that. But at the end of the day, he's kind of a clown show. And I'm not saying I don't like Rex, but I think since he's left New York, and this you could have a different take on this, but I think since he's left New York, he's up in Buffalo, so much less media coverage, spotlight's not on him as much. I think he's been trying to play up some of this other stuff to kind of stay as in the spotlight as he was when he was in New York. Like, I don't think when he's in New York, yeah, he would say things in the press conference, but he's not showing up wearing a goddamn football helmet at the podium. He's not getting tattoos of, like, you know, the logo the first second he shows up with the team.
Well, I mean, definitely get less media coverage than the Jets. And he might be missing a little bit of that. He's an entertainer. Gotta love
him.
He
is an entertainer. I mean, you know what? The guy's – the biggest thing with him right now is if I was a Bills fan. The reason I liked him so much when he was with the Jets was because he was a defensive guy. So anything that happened on the offensive side of the ball I completely overlooked as not being his fault. And we had no weapons on offense. But as long as the defense was good, I was good with Rex. Because Rex is the defensive guy, you know? That's what you expect out of Rex Ryan, to have your defense be shut down, hold teams under 20 points. And that, for the large part, happened his whole time in New York. The problem is that I would have, if I'm a Bills fan, and I'm not, is the defense. They gave up 40 to New England. Let's just look at the last three games. They give up 34 to Cincinnati. They give up 34 to Jacksonville. And then they only gave up 17 to Miami last week. But you can't be giving up 30-plus points if you're supposed to be one of the top defenses. And the Bills, coming into the season, were supposed to be a very, very good defense.
One of the best defenses in the league.
So, you know, you can have a stutter, you know, you can stumble every once in a while, but you can't be giving up 30 points to Jacksonville. And to be honest, as good as Cincinnati is, you can't be giving up 34 points to Cincinnati at home, where Buffalo is supposed to be a tough place to play and you're supposed to have a hard-nosed defense. I don't care who you're playing. You should never give up 30 points. So that would be my problem if I was a Bills fan. I would say, hey, wait a second, Rex. We're 4-4. Your defense is not great, so let's keep this clown show aside until you get us to a couple AFC championship games, which he has not done yet. And from the looks of the way things are going, I don't see the Bills making the playoffs this year. I know this game is huge. Do you? Do you see them making the playoffs?
Yeah, I only really see them making the playoffs if they can pull up this win in New York, but I see the Knicks winning. I mean, well, the Jets winning this.
Yeah, I mean,
thinking a lot about What's up?
The Bills have the 16th ranked scoring defense, and the 15th ranked yardage defense. So, I mean, that's dead middle of the league in both. And that's a Bills team that was supposed to rely on their defense, and Rex Ryan is supposed to be one of the best defensive minds around. So that's what my problem is if I'm a fan. Not this off-the-field stuff. My problem is doing the off-the-field stuff while not performing on the field. So that's an interesting situation. Obviously, with Rex Ryan, you're going to get a good amount of stuff like that off the field, and it is what it is with him. And they, believe me, the Bills knew what they were getting into. So, and I don't feel bad for them at all because I think Rex Ryan was a good hire for them. So I think they're going to be fine. Next story, this guy who had the Packers sign at Bank of America Stadium is suing the Panthers / Cam Newton. Cam Newton ripped the sign off the wall, and this guy is saying it costs him, I forget what the number was, something in the thousands, you know, something like however much to get made, and then he said it really like tied together his man cave, something outrageous like that. If you bring an opposing sign to the stadium and hang it on the wall, you need to expect that thing come down. I'm surprised he even at the stadium, because I know those bastards probably had it at the goddamn tailgate. I'm surprised no Panthers fans took it down then. That was an enormous game. That game was for home field in the NFC, basically. I don't know how you expect that sign to stay up, much less sue when it gets taken down.
I mean, I love it by Cam. I mean, I wish, as a Giants fan, Eli can't really do it like Cam does because Cam has way more swag. But I think it's, your team's undefeated on the season, just beat this great team at home, two big wins at home. your quarterback is obviously playing like one of the best players in the league right now. He's also an entertainer. Like this guy, Cam, I mean, when he scores TDs, he's doing the jet. He's running around like a jet around the field, getting the crowd hyped. And I just love it from him. I think that the Carolina Panthers are in a really good spot, obviously, but they have some young talent, and I think Cam is ready to lead their team to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know if they've clinched the playoff spot yet, but, I mean, the Falcons are the second-best team in that division. I guess Falcons or Saints. Falcons just lost to the Niners, back-to-back losses to the Niners and Bucks. So the Panthers are in. I'd be shocked, and they have a soft schedule. I'd be shocked if the Panthers didn't get the one seed at this point, holding a tiebreaker against Green Bay. I think they end up winning, getting the number one seed in the NFC, which is crazy. But I'm buying into the Packers. I mean, you heard me last night talking about that game, and we were both on the Panthers, but you heard me. That was my favorite play of the week. I loved the Panthers. I knew they were going to win that game, and they won comfortably. I mean, granted, it got a little close down at the end. And if you look at that last play where Rodgers threw the pick, you might think the game was close. And I guess technically they had a chance to score there at the end, so you could say it was. But the Panthers dominated that game if you watched it. They were up like 37-14 in the fourth quarter. I mean, they kind of just stumbled down the stretch and held on, but they dominated the majority of that game. That being said,
yeah,
in playoff time, I think the Packers would roll back into Bank of America, and I think they would win. I just think the playoffs are a different animal, and Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks ever, like from the eye test perspective. Did you also see when Cam scored the touchdown and Peppers wouldn't give him the ball?
No, I didn't see that. What happened to that?
So he scored. You know how Cam does that thing where he always hands the ball to a little kid on the front row?
Yeah.
So he scores a rushing touchdown. The ball's on the ground, and like Peppers picks it up, and he's holding it. And Cam goes up to him. He's like, "Yo, let me get the ball." And Peppers is like kind of like big brothering him, you know, like where he's like holding it out to one side so like Cam can't reach it, and then eventually like chucks it like at one of the refs, like. and Cam like runs over to the ref and like gets it from the ref and then hands it to the little kid. It was just, it was kind of funny. Cause Peppers is like, Peppers is not having that, you know,
yeah,
he's
probably not happy about that shit.
And the Packers sideline was going ape shit. They were all screaming at each other. It was ridiculous. In the first half,
they looked like so disappointed in the first half. They were talking about on the stream about how the Packers team just looked so demoralized losing. But I mean, it's, I guess it's shocking for them because that's their first loss. But I mean, they're a good team, the Panthers.
You know what though? It kind of reminds me of, it kind of reminds me of when the Packers had so much trouble with Kaepernick and the read option. Obviously, they're not running a read option, but a quarterback that is as good as Cam and can run might be kind of a kryptonite for the Packers defense, because, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it with Russell Wilson a couple times now in the playoffs, and we've seen it with – we saw it with Kaepernick for, like, 2 years, the 2 years they were good. And now with Cam, so maybe we've noticed a weakness now in the Packers. So we'll see. We'll see if they can get adjusted on that moving forward. But the Cam ripping down the sign thing, did you see Peanut Tillman took the hit? He was like, I told him to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that.
I don't buy that.
You know, I love
it. No, like I buy Peanut would do that. I think it was a situation where, like, they were, like, Peanut was probably like, man, that sign's bullshit or something like that. And Cam's like, and then Cam, like, went and ripped it down. And I bet Peanut's, like, trying to, you know, get the heat off the quarterback, his quarterback, so he can focus on football. And it's like, all right, I'll just sit, you know. It was like,
stay with me.
I mean, obviously, I could see that being true where he's like, go rip that thing down. I'm just saying, I'm speculating. That's what we do on this show. We speculate. If I had to gamble on it, I would bet that it was not a straight up demand to go rip down the sign.
I love it though. At home, protecting your turf. I mean, as outside team, I'd be extremely pumped up about that.
Oh, I love it too. I wouldn't want that shit on there. I know Jets fans wouldn't have it. Panthers fans are a little softer. I mean, what if you tried to put up a Chargers or like a, I don't know, Broncos or whatever sign up at like the Raiders at a Raiders game. You're leaving the game in a body bag.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing, Marshawn Lynch. This was in Dallas. I guess it was after or before the Cowboys Seahawks game from 2 weeks ago. Marshawn Lynch gives a McDonald's employee $500. To be clear, I believe it was to purchase a pair of shoes or to help him with his business. The guy who works at McDonald's said he wants to own a fashion boutique or something, and Marshawn was really supportive, something like that. The funniest part to me is Marshawn being on a road trip and eating at a McDonald's.
Yeah. It's probably not on the meal plan for him, but I think it's awesome by Marshawn. You really think he's at? I mean, he has to be eating at the McDonald's if he's there. But is that what he does post pregame? McDonald's and Skittles?
I don't know. I mean, they let the guy eat Skittles on the sideline, so maybe they're like, all right, we're gonna do this. Go grab your pregame Big Mac, and he's like, all right, and then throws the guy $500 for his budding clothing line. The thing for me is, like, $500, is that even going to help the guy?
I think he was to buy Marshawn's shoes. He, like, commented on how Marshawn's shoes were dope. And then Marshawn was like, yo, go buy your own.
That makes sense. It's a cool move, no doubt about it. And if there was any guy who is eating McDonald's in the league and you're like, yo, who do you think pregame meal is McDonald's outside of a, you know, a lineman where it would be a joke, I'd probably be like, I don't know, probably Marshawn. I have a story. You know, my buddy Pace, he went to Cal, played on the golf team at Cal. Marshawn, apparently is like the nicest dude ever. They were playing pickup basketball and Marshawn and his buddies came by and they played some pickup and they started throwing the football around. just Marshawn and like these guys on the golf team. And Marshawn, they said he couldn't have been nicer. He was like, said he has a charity golf thing, and he was like, you know, not surprising, but Marshawn was like, I suck at golf. Like, will you come play with me? To my buddy. And he was like, yeah, and they exchanged emails and everything. I don't think it ended up happening, but he couldn't have had nicer things to say about the guy. And that's a tough situation because Marshawn gets himself into so much trouble with the media. I think he turns a lot of people against him, but apparently he is like one of the nicest dudes in the game. And this shows.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just doesn't like dealing with the media and, like, trying to catch him saying shit and things like that. So, but, I mean, he seems like he's a pretty chill guy. I mean, have you seen that the Gronk and him playing Mortal Kombat together?
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk just is looking at him like, I thought I was funny, but, like, Marshawn was just obviously the most funny person in the room in that situation.
Did you ever hear that the Seahawks paid Marshawn's fines for him to not talk to media? I heard that at one point.
I think I did hear that during the Super Bowl or something like that, right? That came out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not the craziest thing in the world. But it is what it is. All right. Last thing. Some implications, not that many implications. Aqib Talib suspended for one game for his eye gouge. If you were the league, how would you have handled this situation?
I think, honestly, you got to look at everything. I mean, obviously the league has had so much trouble in the recent past with the Brady scandal, like all these different scandals, the Ray Rice thing, and then having to pull away their suspensions and things like that. You got to make sure that you're 100% certain in these situations. But, I mean, he's suspended for one game. I mean, I don't think that's going to be hugely important in the grand scheme of things, but especially because the Broncos are doing so well. But I think that the league is just trying to be careful with what it does nowadays. I mean, with all this shit, all this shit happening in the courts. Reversing
their
decisions.
Yep. I'm fine with the one game. I think that was kind of perfect. And the other thing is they're playing the Chiefs, so it doesn't really matter. The reason you can't do – you have to do something because you can't have players doing that. I think you had to go one game. I think – but you can't go much more than that because you set such a light precedent with some of these other guys, you know, like Ray Rice and Greg Hardy – mostly
Greg Hardy, yeah. Four games, giving him, saying like an eye gouge is a quarter of
exactly. Exactly. So if you gave him two games, it's like, okay, so that was half of knocking a girl out in an elevator. And that's when it gets crazy when you compare suspensions, and then it's like, oh, what about Josh Gordon? I guess like smoking a bong is a lot worse than knocking out your wife. So that's where it gets dicey. Now let me ask you this. Because I'm not going to say I was surprised, but they could have just fined him. So let me ask you this. Let's say the Broncos are playing the Patriots. Do you think they hit him with a suspension?
Before the Patriots game?
Yeah, let's say they were playing the Patriots this week.
I think they still do it, but I mean, it's just such a – the NFL needs to figure out their suspension ordeal, because I mean, it's like you get a vote for an entire season if you smoke weed twice. I mean, like, what NFL player isn't smoking weed? So it's like, it also doesn't help you. But then you only give four games to somebody who just beats the shit out of somebody on a camera, like, with video evidence that he literally knocked her out. So I'm a little confused. I don't really.
The whole marijuana thing is, first of all, I understand it's, you know, depends on, like, even if you work at, you know, let's say you work at a venture, you know, you're a venture capitalist in Denver or something like that, and you're applying for a job and you get drug test screenings, even though weed is legal in Denver. So I understand, like, there are some people who are like, oh, like, how are you going to find him? It's legal in the state he plays. That's stupid because it's still based on, you know, the organization, and the NFL has that policy put in place. But I think it's a policy they need to reevaluate because it is becoming legal in places. So what Ray Rice did isn't legal in goddamn Bangkok. I think they should reevaluate that whole situation and reevaluate how they work their suspensions. There's no way around that. But here's my thing. The league is so fiscally not irresponsible, but they're so fiscally short-sighted. Let's put it that way. They're fiscally short-sighted that I don't know if they would suspend Talib if this was a Broncos-Patriots Sunday night football game.
You think they're only doing it because it's a less important game?
No, I'm not saying that. I think that if it was the most important game,
like
they wouldn't
prime
do it.
Time.
If they were playing a big game. Yeah, if they were playing a big game, you know, against, like, let's say the Raiders are trying to make a playoff push, I think they still suspend him for that. Or, you know, it's whatever. But if it's the Patriots and it's Brady Manning on Sunday night for one of the last times probably and then ever, and that's Talib, the best DB on the best defense, I still think the Jets are the best defense, but hypothetically, Talib is the best DB on the best defense on a defense stacked with good DBs, and the only way their record is what it is because of their defense. And knowing if they're not at full strength, Brady gouges them, and the Broncos get rolled, I don't think the league would give them that one-game suspension. Could be wrong.
I could see that because, you know, I don't even know how many people actually have heard about this Aqib Talib situation. I mean, it's a pretty big story, but, I mean, it's not like every single NFL fan knows about this. So it's like if there was – maybe a big primetime game where everyone would be hearing about this pregame, they might have thought differently like you were talking about. But in this kind of game, one game isn't going to be a big deal for Aqib except for his stat line. But that's it.
Yep. Okay. Half an hour through the show, we're going to make our move into our picks. And we're going to start, obviously, with the Thursday night game. Buffalo Bills headed to my Jets. I've been pretty much all over the Jets. I have a ironclad prediction about the game. Last week it was Jaguars. It was a close game. I didn't think we were going to lose, but I thought they would cover the 8.5. They covered not easily, but, you know, relatively easily because they actually had a chance to win the game, and I was all over it when we opened as 9.5-point underdogs against the Patriots. This week, I cannot say that I have one side of this that I really love. But if I had to give advice to the betting public, I would advise you take the Bills. They're 4-1 in the last 5 against the Jets, and they're 6-3 against the spread in their last 9 on the road against the Jets. Also, you got 55% of the betting public taking the Jets. And don't forget the Jets are still banged up. We don't have – Cromartie is not going to play. Calvin Pryor is not going to play. Two of the biggest parts of our defense, two of the best – Calvin Pryor is big for defending the deep ball, and so is Cromartie, so you don't have those stretch plays. Obviously, Revis will probably be on Sammy Watkins, but all in all, I think this is a toss-up game. So the Jets being favored by 3, I won't take it, but if I had to give advice to someone, I would say take the Bills. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I'm going to be riding with the Jets this week, actually. I like all the things you're saying about the game. I mean, the Jets are banged up. Fitzpatrick is still very much probably 50%, 60%. But the Bills, I mean, Tyrod Taylor's coming off an injury also. He played well last week, but, I mean, the Jets' defense is a lot better than the Dolphins. I think that the Jets are going to take this one at home and put some distance in between them and the AFC race.
Wild, hope you're right. All right, next game, Jacksonville's going to Baltimore. I believe the spread on this one is 5.5. What do you have?
I have, one sec.
Maybe 6? I've seen a few different lines.
I have 5.5.
Okay. I am taking Jacksonville in this one. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars actually are not that bad of a team. We saw them beat the Bills in London. Obviously, those London games are weird. But they looked good. They impressed me last week against the Jets. Bortles is not that bad. They have some threats now with Yeldon and Hearns and Allen Robinson. I don't think the Jags are that bad of a team. I saw one analyst on ESPN, not that this means anything because these guys don't know anything, but had the Jags beating out the Colts in the AFC South, which is the worst division in sports. But you got to look. I'm looking at a couple other things. I'm looking at the Jags being 4-2 in their last six. The biggest one for me, last eight games, the Ravens have covered one spread, games. And in the last five games at home, they have not covered a spread. So I'm going to take the Jags, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Jags in this one. I mean, they looked good against the Jets. And, you know, in Baltimore, just you've been saying it all year that Harbaugh was going to step it up for the squad, but I honestly think that the Ravens are just kind of lost. I just think that I'm going to take the points here, the 5.5, and then if the Ravens win by 3, still a winner.
Yeah, and that could easily happen. This spread really didn't make sense to me because Baltimore should not be favored by 5.5 against Jacksonville. And the more surprising thing to me was that the consensus difference was only 52-48 in favor of Jacksonville. That's basically 50-50. So I like Jacksonville in this one. Next game, Lions are going to Green Bay. This is a huge spread, so I've seen everything from 11 to 13. Who do you have in this one, Horse?
I've got 11.5 points. Do you have that also?
I have 12, but, you know, not a huge difference.
That's about the same. So I'm going to go with Green Bay. It's a lot of points, but at home, they're obviously dominant. Their two losses this year came against the Broncos and the Panthers last 2 weeks, two of the best teams in the league. I mean, they're going up against the Lions, who I just think are going to struggle mightily in Green Bay. I think Stafford's going to struggle. It's going to be getting a little bit colder, I'm expecting. I haven't checked the weather reports, but I think it's going to be a little bit colder in Green Bay this week, especially because it's getting into November. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to try and prove something. I mean, they're coming off two losses, and I think that they're one of the best teams in the NFL still. So I think that they're coming out to prove something this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the Packers. I don't know if there's a point spread big enough for me to take the Lions, to be honest. Coming off two losses, I think they're going to win this. I think they're going to win this game by a ton. The Lions are a really, really bad team, not only straight up but also against the spread. They're 1-7 their last eight, 2-8 their last 10 on the road, 2-6 in their last eight against Green Bay, and 1-5 in their last six against Green Bay on the road. Nothing about this game makes me like the Lions at all. The spread obviously is big, but it could have been bigger. I see the Green Bay Packers trying to make a statement in this one. I think they need to make a statement. I see Rodgers playing really well, and I think this game is going to be a blowout. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was something in the 30s-10.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page there.
If you're listening to this before Sunday, I would get on this line as soon as possible because I think going to be moving more and more towards Green Bay, towards 14 or 13. Because, I mean, 78% of the betting public is betting on Green Bay, and we don't normally like betting with that, but that does mean that the line will be moving higher.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The line's going to go up. I mean, it probably by kickoff could be around 14 points. And, you know, two touchdowns is a big difference. You definitely want to keep it under two touchdowns because a 14-point differential is very much in the cards. So I agree with Horse here, and we're kind of doing what we don't normally do, betting with the public, but it works if you hit it early before the line jumps up too much. Next game, Dolphins going to Philly. I got Philly by 6.5. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I got Philadelphia also. I think that the Eagles, I mean, they boned me.
I was just saying I am on the Eagles, but I was just saying I got the Eagles favored by 6.5. I am on the Eagles.
Let me check it.
I can go ahead.
My spread is 6.
6? Okay. All right, even better. This is my favorite play. This is Bill's best bet of the week. And I will remind you, I've hit my last four best bets dating back. I gave you the Cowboys against the Seahawks. They lost by one, almost won outright. I gave you the Panthers last week, throttling the Packers. This week, I'm giving you the Eagles, favored by 6 points against the Dolphins. I like every aspect about this game. The horse and I have both been spot on about the Dolphins being frauds. We were on it 1 week too early. I remember we thought they were going to reveal their true colors and they played well, but those games they won were against terrible teams, Texans, Titans. So they're a fraud. They got hammered by the Pats. And to be honest, they got hammered by the Bills and the Pats the week before. And I think they lose bad again. I think the Eagles are actually on a little bit of a roll. That win against Dallas was big. Miami's 0-5 in their last five games against Philadelphia, and they're 2-5 on their last seven on the road. The majority of the betting public, it's not a huge disparity at 56 to 44%, but that's just another bullet in my arsenal. Or, you know, if you will, reason I like this one. I love the Eagles. It's my best bet of the week.
Yeah, I'm also on the Eagles. I think that win against Dallas was huge for their confidence and also huge for their playoff chances. I mean, they're 4-4 now rather than being 3-5 potentially. And they have the tiebreaker now over Dallas. And I think that they're going to win at home. Philadelphia Eagles are a good home team usually. They have good fans, and I think they're going to win in this one.
Okay. The Browns are headed to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers without Big Ben. Who are you on in this one?
This one's tough for me. I mean, Big Ben's not going to be playing. I mean, it's a rough situation for him. I think it's going to be Landry Jones coming in.
I believe it is going to be Landry Jones.
Yeah, I'm on Cleveland in this one. I'm going to take the points. I think it's 5.5 right now. It went up from 4.5. I think that the Browns are a solid team. Obviously not that good. Denzel struggled a little bit. He opened up well, but then struggled.
But they're going back to the count this week.
Yeah, they're switching back. But I think that 76% of the betting public is betting on Pittsburgh at home without them, who I think is one of their most important – I mean, the most important piece for that team. And I'm going to take the points here and expect the Steelers to either win by 3 or even take a loss to this Browns team.
I'm going to go the other way on this one. I'm going to take the Steelers. I think the Browns are a really bad team. They're not a team that's made to cover spreads, 1-3-1 in their last five. What we saw from Pittsburgh last week is that they still have dangerous weapons that I don't think the Browns are going to be able to contain. And this is not a bet I love by any means. It's not one of my favorite plays of the week. I think it's probably my least favorite of the games we've talked about so far, other than Jets-Bills, which I'm a little bit torn on. I don't love it, but I think that the Steelers still have enough weapons and the desire, because they are still – right now they're in the playoff picture. So the Browns' season's more or less over, and the Steelers need to keep winning games, and this is one they have to win, because you can't be losing games to the Browns if you're going to grab a wild card this year in the AFC, because teams like the Jets and Raiders are going to beat you out. You have to beat the Browns of the world. They know this going in. Landry Jones has gotten some experience. I think they'll utilize Antonio Brown, and D'Angelo Williams has proved to be a very, very capable backup, more than capable backup for Le'Veon Bell. That being said, it's not one of my favorite plays, but I am on the Steelers. Next game, Chicago is going to St. Louis. And this is a big line. It's a 9-point spread, which surprised me. I thought it would be around 6, maybe a touchdown. And at first, I like the Bears, but I think this is kind of a sucker line. Almost 70% of the betting public is taking the Bears. The Rams are 6-3 against the spread in their last 9 home games. I think the Rams get to Cutler. Cutler has been the beneficiary of playing some bad teams. Make no mistake about it, the Chargers are a bad team. They lost in overtime to Lions. They beat the Chiefs. they've played a really bad schedule. I think the Rams D-line gets to Cutler, forces some problems. I think Tavon Austin might do some things in the special teams games. They might mix him up in some different ways to create some scoring. I just think that the Rams cover this line.
Yeah, I'm also on the Rams. It opened up at 9. It's down to about 7.
That makes sense. That's what you were talking about earlier with the Packers. When you see a line like this, you have to move on it.
Yeah, you have to move on it early, especially depending on what.
If you see the betting public is hammering the Bears, you know the line's going down, so you have to hammer it early, which is what we were talking about with the Packers, because the betting public's hammering the Packers. We're going to get it on it. We're going to get on it now before it shoots up to 14. Now, if you're on the Rams, which we are, this is one you sit on as long as possible.
Yeah, I think by game time, it might. I mean, 7 is a pretty standard line. It might get to 6.5, but I think 7 might be one of the lowest it gets to here, because it's moved a lot. It's moved 2 points already. But yeah, I'm on the Rams. Hopefully, get it at 6.5.
All right. Dallas is going to Tampa Bay to take on Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. I am seeing everything. I'm seeing a few lines here because I usually look at a lot of different sites when I'm doing the research. So, you know, different sites have different lines. But I'm having everything from Bucks 1 to Cowboys 1. So, like, right around a pick 'em.
Yeah, I've got Bucks by 1 on my site, but I have seen a couple different things.
Okay, so we'll just say this one's close to a pick 'em. No matter what it is in that area, it's not going to affect my decision. I'm taking the Bucks. I've been on the Cowboys in some games. They broke my heart last week. I thought at worst I was going to get a push against the Eagles. I loved them against the Seahawks, but that was a home game. Both those were home games. Now they're going on the road. And at the end of the day, the Cowboys aren't good. They're not winning games, and they're not covering the spread. They're 1-5. Other than that Seahawks cover, they haven't covered a game in their last 6 games. So, and they haven't won. They don't win games. So if you're talking about taking them in a pick 'em, I'm going to disagree. I mean, I don't see how you do that. This is a team that cannot win football games. They're 2-6, and they won their season opener against against your Giants, and then they won their next game against the Eagles. But their leading passer in both those games was Tony Romo. Since then, they've lost 6 in a row. Why am I supposed to believe they're going to go on the road and win now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the Bucs also. This line is one of the weirder, stranger lines that I've seen. 67% is betting on Dallas. So it opened at -1 in favor of Dallas. I think it's moving towards Tampa Bay favored by 1 now. And I think this is especially strange because I think that Vegas is trying to get more people to bet on Dallas, even though the betting favorite is on Dallas. So I think
Spot
they're
on.
Trying to push everyone
Spot
that way.
On.
And they're trying to get everyone betting on Dallas, and I'm obviously not going to go that way. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. And I think that they're going to win this game at home.
I think this is like maybe some of the best analysis we've ever had on the show, to be honest, because this is one you see this sometimes. And I look for this when I do college, and college is actually more my forte. I haven't told you this, but the website I handicap for, if I have a good week in college football, I'll be on the top 5 college football handicappers of the season, which would bring in some nice ched, but need to have a good week. And this is a classic case of what you look for. You look at the line movement, and then you look at the consensus. So let's say everyone's hammering Dallas in this case, but the line is moving the opposite direction. That is when you pounce all over. And I'm not surprised you're all over that. You know what you're doing. So that is one that the degenerates will love together. We think we're all over it. If you're listening, that is one to hit. Next game, Panthers are going to Tennessee to play the Tennessee. The Panthers are going to Tennessee to play the Titans. I'm seeing Panthers by 6, but it might be up to 7 now. What do you have as a point spread, and who do you like in that game?
So I've actually got 5 on this one. It's actually moving down for me. It opened at 6, moving down to 5. I'm on the Panthers. I think that was a big win. They might have a little bit of let off, but, I mean, the team, I mean, Tennessee versus Green Bay, I mean, is obviously a huge difference as a team. Tennessee Titans are 0-4 at home. And I'm thinking that the Panthers just continue going, chugging along, stay undefeated, and win this by a touchdown.
I'm going to go the other way on this one. I'm going to take the Titans. I think the Panthers, there's a lot of parity in the NFL. And I think the Panthers have come off a series of big games, if you will. Obviously, the Packers game was enormous. Before that, they had the Monday night game against the Colts. Before that, they had the Sunday night game against the Eagles. And before that, they had the big road win in Seattle. No buys in between this whole time. I'm expecting a little bit of a letdown. I think they win ugly in Nashville. They've looked good all season, but I expect this game to be kind of an ugly one for the Panthers. Not that I don't think they're going to win. I do, and they obviously could cover a spread against a terrible Tennessee Titans team. But the Titans looked a little better last week, so I'm going to go with the Titans and expecting a little bit of a down week for the Panthers. And I'm also hoping the line gets up to a full 7 points because that would give me a lot more security about this pick.
Yeah,
Hold on. We got someone. We got someone calling in.
Right.
Hey, you're on live with Degenerates. What do you got?
So, who do you like in this Thursday night battle in the East, huh?
Well, we already went over it. I was saying I didn't love anyone in it, mostly because I'm a Jets fan. The Bills are 4-1 against
over 42 mark.
I could really get behind the over. I do like the over. I think the Bills defense is overrated and the Jets defense is a little banged up without Cromartie and Pryor. Horace, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I love the over. Whoever this caller is, great pick. This is a tough one to pick, but I'm liking the over in this one because the defense is in this. Bills are average defense at best. I think the Jets put up at least 20 on them.
The Bills, the last four Bills games have gone over 50, and the past three Jets games have gone over 50. So I like the line at 41.5.
The only thing you got to watch out for is in these Thursday night games, offenses tend to not be as sharp. And a lot of times that can result in turnovers, which can also force points. But a lot of times
what's the forecast for tonight? Is it supposed to be clear?
I believe I saw rain. I will double check that right now. But I believe I saw rain, which would be bad. Both teams have solid rain.
I think it's actually zero rain chance, but it's like 90% humidity. So it's just like a steamer out there.
Okay.
I don't know about that, Horace. I'm seeing 20% precipitation.
We'll see. We'll take a little spread on that.
That was yesterday. Right, so Morris, rain doesn't look like it's going to be a problem. I do like the over. I like the over, and I like where your head is with the over. I like the over a lot more than I like the game because, it's a tough spread for me. Like I said, Bills 4-1 in their last 5 against the Jets, 6-3 in the last 9 on the road against the Jets. But I think the Jets are the better team. It's just these Thursday night games sometimes can get a little weird. But I like where your head is with the over. It's all basically.
Are y'all touching the Vatek Georgia Tech game?
I am going to take Georgia Tech.
At what is it, 2.5?
Yeah, it came down. It started at 4, and now I believe it's at 2.5. This is more of an NFL show, but yeah, I'm going to take Georgia Tech.
Right.
But I like where your head is with the over. I would give you the Rob Williamson green light to hit the over hard.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, brother.
I like that guy.
Hey. Is that Brom?
No, I don't know who that was. I liked him, though. Seemed to know what he was talking about. slash he just watched that little ESPN video that was on the homepage of the Jets Bills game, because that guy was talking about it going. You see that?
Does the over 1.5?
Yeah. That's classic. But yeah, hey, it's not bad intel. The thing is, for me, it's like, when are the chickens going to come home to roost? At some point, they're going to have a really low-scoring game, and it could be on a Thursday night.
That guy on ESPN has said the over on almost every single Thursday night game in the past 6 games.
Well, the overs have been hitting, so it's I don't hate it. And with the Jets' defense banged up and the Bills' defense not being very good, it's not a bad bet.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks to that guy calling in. Next game, New Orleans is going to Washington. I love Washington. They're 4-1 in their last 5 against the Saints. The Saints have been better on the road, but I think this is kind of when the Saints go back to their being their true selves. They lost at home to the Titans last week. I think the Saints are back to being the Saints. Redskins aren't a bad team. They looked bad against the Patriots last week, but that who hasn't looked bad against the Patriots? Only the New York Jets. So I'm going to take Washington this week. And there's a bit – everyone is hammering the Saints, which is a big thing for me. So I'll take the Redskins on this one.
Yeah, I'm also on the Redskins. What's your line at right now for this one?
I have Saints by 1.
Yeah, I'm taking the Redskins at home and basically a pick 'em. The majority of the betting public again is all over New Orleans, 87%, which is huge. And I think New Orleans struggles away from their dome. Redskins have one of the tougher places to play in, even when they're bad, which is a lot, which is awesome. But it's tough to play there, and it's going to be a little bit wet, I'm expecting. Not the conditions that Drew Brees would like. And I think that the Redskins won this one.
Yeah, that's the only shitty thing about doing our show on Thursdays. We like to do it on Thursdays to get you the Thursday night game in. But it really screws us over when we have to make weather predictions 4 or 5 days in advance. It makes it a lot tougher on us. And what you guys don't know is a lot of times we end up – we're obviously talking a lot, and we occasionally end up making different moves than we say on here. But that's just the nature of the beast, because a lot of stuff happens in between Thursday and Sunday. The injury reports, a guy could be, you know, probable – today, and then by Sunday, we know there's no chance he plays. So, you know, if we're talking about weather or anything like that, or we're talking about a team that struggles in the weather like the Saints and looks like clear skies today, and come kickoff, it's pouring rain, maybe we hammer the Redskins. So a lot of this stuff goes into this, and this isn't us just shooting from the hip. And so that's something to consider, especially with regard to the weather. Next game, Minnesota is going to Oakland, and I will let you take the lead on this one.
Minnesota going to Oakland. I've got the line at 3 in favor of Oakland. I'm taking Oakland at home for the first time all season. I've been against the Raiders, but honestly, they're a good team. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree seems to be reviving his career there. Derek Carr looks solid. I mean, throwing the ball for 4 TDs a game, last few games, 3 TDs a game. And at home, I think that the Oakland fan base is pretty excited about their team being good for the first time in a while. Minnesota can really only run the ball and clock manage. So I think that Oakland's going to win this one.
I am on the same side. I love Oakland in this one. They're good. Oakland is good. It's a tough place to play. We saw that with the Jets. It's a long trip for Minnesota. Who knows what's going on with Bridgewater's whole concussion protocol. I've heard he's fine, but, I mean, still, like, there's still going to be some cobwebs when you take a shot like that. Raiders are 5-2 in their last 7 against the Vikings, and they've got a really good team, and you're spot on with how tough it is to go in there when those fans are going crazy. and I believe they will be going crazy this week. So I'm with you there. We've been on the same side a good amount. Next game, Kansas.
Everything but Pittsburgh and the Jets, right? I mean, Jets kind of, but.
Panthers and Tennessee.
Okay, yeah.
Panthers, Browns, and then that game tonight. Next game, Kansas City's going to Denver, obviously. Tlaib will not play. I have Denver by a touchdown, but I've seen six.
I have Denver at six.
Okay, six. All right, we'll go six. I'm on Denver, so that makes me like it even more. Kansas City, Denver needs a bounce-back win after losing to the Colts, first things first. The other thing is Kansas City's not a good team, and they really struggled against the Broncos. They're 2-5 in their last seven against the spread. They're 1-6 on the road, and they're 1-5 against the spread in their last six against Denver. I just got a text from one of my buddies that said, I love the Jets tonight. That makes me hate the Jets. There's nothing worse than one of your friends who doesn't know anything about gambling hits you with a, I love this team.
Who hit you up about that?
It was Brumbeck.
That was Brumbeck on the show.
No, it wasn't. It was a 336 number.
Sounded like Brumbeck.
No, I know, but the phone numbers come up when people call in. It was a 336 number. I think that's North Carolina. Let's see. 336 area code is North Carolina. I don't know where. Either way, hopefully the over hits for that guy. I'm going to hammer Denver in this one. I think Kansas City sucks. I think Denver bounces back, wins, they cruise.
Yeah, I'm on Denver at home also. Tough place to play, obviously. One of the better teams in the league. Kansas City is kind of disappointing. I'm on Denver all the way.
Okay. Next game, I am obviously going to let you take the reins on. Patriots are going in to MetLife Stadium to take on your New York Football Giants. I'm seeing the spread is 7.5. You can tell me if you have something different. Tell me who you like and why, because I rely on you for my good Giants intel.
Okay, well, the line's at 7 here. I mean, most of the betting public is going with the Pats, but I expect that because most of the time, most of the betting public bets with the Pats because they struggle to ever not cover. I mean, they cover almost every time. They're favored by 7 on the road. The Giants, there's all this talk about how they're the Patriots' kryptonite, how Coughlin's stolen 5 of the last 6, all this noise. I mean, the Giants do tend to play well against the Patriots. I think that the Giants like the challenge of playing one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league, for the past 6 years. But I do think the Patriots are going to win this one by more than 7. I will be betting on the Giants, but I am expecting the Patriots to cover this 7. I have it at 7. And I think that they're going to go out there and try and prove something against a Giants team that's caused them misery in the past few years.
Yeah, I agree. And what's surprising to me was the differential in this game. I thought it would be a bigger spread. I'm seeing only 52% taking the Pats, 48% taking the Giants. So I thought that spread would be a lot bigger. I'm also on the Patriots. I just don't think this number's big enough. I don't think the Giants are that good. I think the Patriots are the best team in the league. And they've been covering spreads like crazy. I mean, they've only not covered one spread all year, and it was against the Colts. So, I mean, until they stop covering spreads, I'm going to keep betting on them. I'm with you. I'm on the Giants. Yeah. So
what I might run here is I'm going to be betting probably potentially on New England spread if I'm feeling like making money. But I will also probably throw a little money on the Giants to win, just as a Giants fan.
Yeah, that's not a terrible idea. All right, the Sunday night game is a very good game. We got the Arizona Cardinals going up to Seattle, where the Seahawks are favored by 3. I originally was thinking I was going to hammer the Seahawks here, but then I realized the Seahawks are not a very good football team anymore. I've been saying it for the past few weeks. I am taking the Cardinals with the points. They are 5-2 against the spread on the road. And the Seahawks are the Seahawks have covered at home, mind you, at home, two spreads in the last 11 games. And they're supposed to be a dominant home team. They've covered two spreads in their last 11 games. I don't think they've covered one. I could be wrong here, so I'm going to double check. But I don't know that the Seahawks have covered a spread this year at home, because they didn't cover against They covered against the Bears, but then they didn't cover against the Lions. They didn't cover against the Panthers. They've only had two home games. But I mean, covering two spreads in 11 games is pathetic. I think the Cardinals have a good chance to win this game outright. They're 5-2 against the spread on the road. Seahawks are 1-4 in their last five at home. So, I mean, I think the Cardinals are the real deal this year, and I don't think that the Seahawks are. For that reason, I am going to take the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, eye test, when I first looked at this one, I was thinking all about the Seahawks at home. But then going deeper into it, I'm liking the Cardinals also. I mean, they're just a lot better of a team. They have a great offense, good defense. And I think Seattle just isn't as good as what they've been lined up as. I expected them to be in the beginning of the year. I have Seattle and a bunch of spreads. But I also don't think that they're a good team anymore. Not a good team, but I mean, they're a solid team, but they're not enough to warrant a 3-point spread against one of the better teams in the league, I think. And the Arizona Cardinals can just move the ball really well, and I think that they will.
Yep, I am with you. The Seahawks looked better in that game against the 49ers, but that was a rivalry game. They completely regressed against the Cowboys on the road. Not a good team. They barely won. So we're on the same page there. We look at it and we're like, oh, Seahawks. But that's why we are the best in the biz, because we look beyond that initial knee-jerk reaction and dig deeper and think about the team and what they've done, and they haven't done anything, and the Cardinals have. The Monday night game is a stinker. It's Houston at Cincinnati. 13-point spread. An outrageous number for me. I know the Bengals have been good and the Houston Texans have not, but this spread on a Monday night game when Andy Dalton has proved so many times that he cannot get it done in primetime, I disagree with it. I'm not saying Houston's going to win the game, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they struggle at least just a little bit. I mean, I don't think that the Bengals have had a primetime game this year. I mean, they had the Thursday night game doesn't count. So now they're on Monday night football. I thought this number was going to be like 9. So 13, when I saw 13, it was too much for me. And I'm going to take the Texans.
Yeah, I think this is another one of those sucker lines. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are 75% for the spread the betting public.
Are you sure?
The line opened. Yeah, 75% betting on Cincinnati on that spread.
Hold on. I'm seeing 44% is betting on Cincinnati.
I'm on Vegas Insider. I don't know if you're on the same.
I'm on Odd Shark. I'm going to double check on the pick center. Yeah. Keep talking. I'm going to double check.
Okay, so this line opened up at 13. Most of the betting public, from what I'm reading right here, is betting on Cincinnati. The line is moving down towards 10.5. So that just means that, again, Vegas trying to get you to bet on Cincinnati. I would have like to get this line a little bit higher. It's at 10.5 right now. But I'm also going to be on the Texans if it can get back to 11-ish, 12-ish.
Yeah, Pick Center has 71% of the public taking Cincinnati.
Yeah, so I think Vegas is trying to push everyone on Cincinnati. And I'm hoping that the line moves back a little bit, but I'm going to be on Houston on anything above 10.
Okay. All right. Wow. This is the most picks we've ever been on the same side, which is a very good sign if you're a better. The game tonight, it's a tough game.
It is. It's one of the tougher picks in the this week.
It is a tougher pick. I'm going to stay with the Bills just for advice. I'm going to take the Jets tonight because I don't have a choice. So we're different. We're on different sides of that one, but we're both on the Jags, and that's one we both liked. We're both on the Packers. We both love that one. Take it now. We are both on the Eagles. We're on opposite sides of the Browns Steelers. Both on the St. Louis Rams, and you're going to want to let that one fall as low as possible. We're both on Tampa Bay against Dallas. That's one you can jump on now, and because they're going to move it in Tampa Bay's favor, even though people are betting on Dallas because they want everyone hammering Dallas. That's the degenerates play of the week, I'd say, after going into it. We're on different sides of the Panthers, Titans. We're both on the Redskins against the Saints. We're both on the Raiders against the Vikings. We're both on the Broncos against the Chiefs. We're both on the Patriots against the Giants. We're both on the Cardinals against the Seahawks. And we're both on the Texans, the Cincinnati Bengals. And that will do it for the show. Tune in next week. And thanks to that caller. I hope he calls in more.
Wanna come, but they never wanna leave.